Now, public money, how it's spent and indeed wasted in many instances, is back on the agenda following the revelation that the Arts Council forked out almost €7 million on an IT system that was eventually abandoned. It follows on from the now infamous bike shed that cost €330,000, the wall that cost €500,000, and the security hut that came in with a bill of €1.4 million. Well, I've been speaking to Oisin Smith, and up to a few weeks ago, he was the Minister of State with responsibility for public procurement. In other words, monitoring how government departments and the entities that answer to them, how they spend money on works, goods and services. And I started off by asking him if he'd been aware of the doomed IT project at the Arts Council while he was in office as Minister of State at the Department of Public Expenditure.
It predates the time when I was there. I think it goes back to 2019. And the Arts Council, I think, was looking for an IT system that could administer their grants, which is their basic thing they do, give out money to artists and see how much has been paid out. And they were planning an IT system back in 2019. So there are guidelines in government when you do IT projects to make sure that you're getting a little bit of guidance and that you don't go wrong, because IT projects have the ability to really go off the rails.
And the Arts Council, obviously, at the time, it was under the remit of your colleague in the Green Party, Catherine Martin, when she was Minister for Arts. Even between colleagues, she didn't come and get a view from you on the IT project or flag it with you. You weren't aware of it at that point, were you?
No, I wasn't aware, and I haven't had a chance to speak to her about it. But, you know, it's a €2 million project. I think that the Arts Council had a budget of 140 million. And so they would have been trusted by central government to administer their own project and run their own project, you know. So, there is delegation of power and expenditure. These departments are given rules on how they spend money. There's a public spending code. They have to follow those rules. And, you know, they're meant to administer their own money, you know, at a level like €2 million. They should be spending their own money on the project and getting their benefit from it.
OK. And ultimately, it wound up at nearly €7 million. That was the ultimate cost of it. But I suppose if there is no knowledge of what the end cost of a project might be, is it wise to flag it perhaps at that point in terms of government IT projects? Is it wise to flag it at an early point when people realise there will be further cost and they don't know what that cost will be?
You shouldn't embark on a project where you don't know what the price will be. It's not like going for a walk in a mystery forest. You know, you decide how much money you're going to spend in advance. That's what the public spending code says, that you need to estimate how much it's going to take. And that's why you do your planning beforehand, where you work out what you're going to do and you price it all up. And as you go along, if something occurs unexpectedly, or you need to change the spec, then you need to go back and you need to make a new estimate. And if the estimate is much larger than before or is significant, you need to go back out for tender again. And you may need to get sanctioned again, and you may need to go back to your government department, or you may need to go back to central government and warn them that your project is now not what it was. It's changed from what it was. So how you manage those changes is really critical. And one of the most important things is not to have as few changes as possible. Like, your project should be very, very simple, and you shouldn't make changes unless it's absolutely necessary. And if you are making changes, you've got to have something that evaluates whether the change is worth doing, because every change makes your project more likely to fail. The longer your project takes, the more likely it is to fail. If you have a short project window and a simple spec, you'll probably be able to deliver it, and then you can add to it in version two. But the longer you make your project, the more likely something's going to come up that's going to make it crash. And the more features you add in, the more likely you're never going to reach your launch date. And, you know, it's very important that the governance, the people who are spending the money, the different departments, understand that, and that they've done at least the one-day course on how to manage an IT project, or that they've hired both a project manager and a project chair who separately will govern the project. And these are people who have run an IT project before. I'll give you an example. So this is a newsworthy story because it's unusual. The government, in my experience and what I've seen, IT projects actually go really well in government, and they've managed to deliver lots. There was a terrible IT project 20 years ago, the PPARS project.
This was a HR system, HR system.
And it was 20 times over budget. It was 200 million, and you know, before they had to give up. And after that, there was just a total fear of doing any IT projects in government for a few years.
Which is a bad thing, surely. IT projects are objectively a good thing.
They are a good thing. And we've got past that because, you know, you can do your taxes online and that works really well. And you can get your welfare payments online and you can renew your passport often within 24 hours. So IT projects are really valuable to the public. It's a great way of delivering service. And mostly the government is succeeding with its IT projects. So I can think of plenty of projects. If you think of the vaccination scheduling system that came out very fast and so on. And we know the characteristics of projects that succeed. You know, if this is the response to this, I would hate to see the response to this disaster in the Arts Council, that people would back away from IT projects or that the civil service would become even more risk averse. The biggest problem in the civil service is not that they are too generous with money or that they are throwing it around too loosely. It's that it's the opposite. I think that they are too risk averse. And that when the civil service is faced with a project to do, that they put the timelines too long and they try to insure against too many risks.
The word consultant rings alarm bells. The cost of contracts gains huge public attention and attracts public controversy. So buying in outside expertise, do you think that's part of the fear that people think of the end invoice and run a mile from it?
I think the word consultancy, I think people are allergic to it and almost makes people angry and outraged as soon as they hear the word. And the problem is that sometimes it's used to describe spending money on software or legal advice. And, you know, I think when people hear consultancy, they think of management consultants at a whiteboard, you know, drawing lines and charging you €1,000 a day. So, you know, you have to be very careful in what language you use. And, you know, every organization needs legal advice and needs software. And to bundle them all up as consultancy sometimes, you know, it gives the wrong message.
But I suppose the attitude of consultants or outside contractors towards the public purse, I mean, the duty of civil servants is to watch out for the public money.
Yeah.
Is there a need for vigilance? Is there a sort of an easy touch attitude towards the public purse on occasion that does need to be guarded against?
There's a danger both in the private sector and the public sector that people who are in charge of budgets think that they can somehow abdicate their responsibility by handing over a project to consultancies. So they can turn around to a big consultancy firm and say, can you do all my job for me? And I'll just write you a check. And that doesn't work. It's actually a skill to manage consultants, and it's also a skill to decide what things to do in-house with your own staff and what things to outsource. But you can't just make the work go away by handing a load of money to an outside company.
Okay, so that's IT, and it can be relatively complex. Building walls and bike sheds isn't necessarily as complex.
Yeah.
So how do overruns of the magnitude we've seen happen in that particular department?
Okay. There's two basic rules in public procurement. One is to get value for money. So you get a good price and you get good quality. And the second, the same as if you were spending your own money. And the second rule is that when you're buying things for state, that you have an open competition that is transparent and you don't give contracts out to somebody because you know them or they did a job for you before. So that they're the basic rules. And when you look at something like the bike shed, it's already failed the basic test of value for money. Right, you're buying a bike shed. Is it worth this much? No, it isn't. Right, or how much is a wall, or how much is a shed? And if you keep seeing the same type of failure, I suppose, in public procurement in a particular agency, then you need to find out what the root cause is, and you're probably going to need some very deep reform to fix that. I should say, for example, that there are bits of government that are really good at procurement. So if you think about, it's worth not just looking at the failures and learning from them, but also looking at the successes. So if you look at, for example, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, who can build a road or a bridge, and they can get it done on time and on budget. And the reason they can is because they've done it so many times. Or the Department of Education can build schools, and they've built hundreds of schools. And again, because they've developed the knowledge in-house and they've done it so many times. But the big risk is when you go out to do something and you haven't done it before. I think with the bike shed and the wall and the hut and so on, it's really hard to excuse those. And there has to be, I think there's a kind of a yearning now to identify what the root cause of that is, what's wrong in that organization that led to that happening. Are we going to continue allocating money to something which is misspending money? I think there's a big desire for that.
Does the government need to proactively have a look at best practice and where savings could be made?
Well, I think they need to do two things. They need to investigate the projects that have gone wrong, find the patterns of behaviour that have led to that, come up with an action plan to resolve it. But also then they also need to look at the ones that are going right and to make them as a model. So it can't be entirely negative. It can't be all about, you know, identifying the culprits and punishing them. In some cases, we can actually learn from the bits that are going well and make sure that those are in place. In some cases, it's education. So making sure that people are trained. People are earning very large amounts of money for running government agencies and for being at the top of government agencies. In exchange for that, they should be able to spend money correctly, and they should have the skills that are required to do, for example, a basic IT project.
And that was Oisin Smith there. He's a former Minister of State with responsibility for public procurement, speaking to me just before the today's programme. And listening to that is our panel here in studio: Ciarán O'Donnell, Minister of State with responsibility for older people and housing, and Fine Gael TD for Limerick City; Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin TD for Galway West and her party spokesperson on public expenditure and reform; and Duncan Smith, Labour Party TD for Dublin Fingal East and his party spokesperson on foreign affairs, trade and defence. Ciarán O'Donnell, we're awaiting the outcome of an external review into this system, but I suppose it's worth filling listeners in. What questions specifically will this external review be looking at?
Well, the Minister O'Donovan and Minister for Arts is currently coming up with a terms of reference, which he'll bring to Cabinet the week after next. And I think I can't preempt what he'll have in the terms of reference, but certainly looking at the initial report that was done by the Secretary General of the Department of Arts around breach of procurement rules. And I think the Oisin Smith made reference to delays around the whole area of, he spoke about having people in charge. It would appear as if there was no particular person designated to oversee the project within the Arts Council. And really to look at what exactly happened. He spoke about to investigate what was the patterns. It went over a long period of time. It's over nearly 7 million with a project that was supposed to start out at 2.97 million. So it's well over double. It was supposed to be completed in 2022. It not only was it not completed, but it was money completely down the drain, right, of 5.3 million written off. So I think the key thing, get the external review done to find out what exactly happened and what measures can be put in place to make sure it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Again.
And there are contested versions of events. The Arts Council say that at all points in the line, they were flagging the issues with this project to the department. The department, this wasn't escalated up the chain with a full report, or how far it was escalated up the chain is possibly one of the questions that should be asked. I mean, is this why an external review has been commissioned? Because there needs to be an objective view established of who's giving an accurate version of events.
No, external review has been commissioned because it's come to light that 7 million, nearly 7 million has been extended in this project that has no value. They are saying 1.2 million of it might have value, and that's hard earned taxpayers' money.
Right. I'm sorry for cutting across.
That's the main reason.
Okay, but the external review, should it be looking at whether or not the brakes could have been pulled on this earlier, and whether the department received information of a quality that would have allowed them to make that call?
Well, certainly if you look once again, I don't want to preempt the external review, but if you look at the report that was produced by the Secretary General of the Department of the Arts on the 6th of February, that does go in and say that when the initial business case was presented from the Arts Council to the Department of Arts itself, the work probably done by the department certainly wasn't sufficient as it should have been. And furthermore, then, thereafter, the Arts...
Do you mean to interrogate the business
case?
The
business case itself, the Arts Council then, following the business case, the Arts Council didn't actually tie down the figures before they entered procurement. And I think really, but when they were giving the figures to the department, they didn't look for approval. So I think, but fundamentally, when you look at the project itself, you have to ask the questions of the Arts Council. How was this project? And one key feature is, if these projects are delayed, invariably, and many times, they end up costing a huge amount of taxpayers' money. And here we've found ourselves in a situation today where we have no updated IT system for the for grants. They are talking about that they had a bespoke scheme that it could have cost 1.5 million. Why wasn't that pursued?
Right.
Day one? I mean, these are all questions that would have to be asked.
And will it, will the external review have within its full remit to see where it went wrong at every level? I mean, I think the minister at the time that this was given the go-ahead was Josepha Madigan. She was the arts minister at the time.
The external review will be into the Arts Council itself. And obviously that will take into account all its interactions with various groups and bodies, including the Department of the Arts itself. But I think the fundamental issue here is you asked, why is this review taking place? It's taking place because there's an extreme wastage of taxpayers' money to the order of at least 5.3 million.
Okay. Mairead Farrell, what questions would you like to see in the terms of reference for this external review? What do you think needs to be answered?
Well, one of the things that kind of straight away flagged there with me was if this is looking solely at the Arts Council itself and not at the department, and just the interactions of the Arts Council. Now, the Arts Council have come out and said that they've had had continuous engagement with the department. But then did the Department of Public Expenditure know? Like, I mean, will it be looking at that? Will it be looking at what interactions the Department of Arts, say, had with the Department of Public Expenditure? I think what's particularly frustrating about this, obviously the vast sums of money that was spent, taxpayers' money that was spent and wasted on something that never occurred. But this is all set in the context of consistent waste of taxpayers' money, and that is what it's centred around, and that's the likes of the bike shelter, the most expensive bike shelter I've ever heard of in my life, a wall that I've seen myself that cost huge sums of money as well, and a 1.4 million security hut. So it's all set in the context of this consistent waste of money. What I would like to know is how much of this information was available and when? Was this something that, we're only hearing about after a general election? Was that on purpose? Because, you know, there was this feeling that it was consistent waste of public money. And I also am concerned that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I'm sorry, just on the timeline of that, you would like to get an insight into
who knew what?
When they knew it, and what discussions there were around escalating this or publicising it.
Exactly, absolutely. Of course we need to know that information. But I think for a lot of people this, and like for me anyway, I would say this is the tip of the iceberg. And we have said this in Sinn Féin consistently. We need to actually look in general at the wastage of public money, which has been consistent under the previous government, which is kind of a new incarnation in terms of this current government. The reason we know about the bike shelter, for example, the reason we know about that great wall, the wall that cost a huge sum of money, is because of freedom of information request put in by Ken Fox.
In the case of this IT project, this was a cost overrun. In the case of the bike shelter, and people may be shocked to hear this, the bike shelter actually came in under budget. There was a cost attached to it of €350,000, and it came in at around the €330,000
mark. And this is why we need to have an audit. We need to have an audit about how money is spent, but also we need to look, and it's something that I put forward. I had a bill in the last stall, and I'll be bringing it back as well into this stall, looking at public procurement. In this particular instance, we're talking about the public spending code and, you know, whether it was adhered to or not. But what's the accountability mechanism for people if they don't adhere to the
public spending code? We'll come on to that in a minute. Duncan Smith, what questions would you like to see answered in this external review?
The external review, I think, should actually contribute to what should be a Public Accounts Committee inquiry into this. The Public Accounts Committee hasn't been constituted yet. It should be. Everyone's elected. All the senators are picked. We need to move forward with the committees. But this being shoved into an external review, I'd have issues in relation to transparency, what we're going to see out of the review itself. I think this should be a Public Accounts Committee investigation. I think there's issues with this department. We had it when there's investigations into costs in this organisation, for example, in terms of the previous minister and communications with Secretary General and senior officials and who knew what when. So that story is replaying itself. with this. And I think the Public Accounts Committee, as a committee that probably really needs to find its teeth.
Although in the case of RTE, there were external reviews into RTE as well.
There were, which fed into the Oireachtas committees, which is where I think this should take place. I think it should be in the Public Accounts Committee. And the Public Accounts Committee needs to find its teeth again, and it needs to get back to what it used to do really well, which was actually keeping a rein on public spending. Mm-hmm. Like the public spending code obliges all public bodies to treat public funds with care. Right, that's in the very first page of the public spending code, and it is very clear that there's a culture emerging across various different public bodies, be it civil, state agencies, that is not happening, and we need to get to the root of that through this issue, but also through the others. And we've mentioned it before, bike sheds, etc. There's a culture here, and the parent department, the Public Expenditure and Reform, like when that first was constituted in 2011, that was a very serious department. It was like people thought the OR stood for refuse at the time, because we'd very little money and no one was getting funding for anything. Now it seems to have lost its teeth and it seems to have lost its bite, and a culture has been allowed to pervade where there's massive overspends. Now people's taxpayers,
although it should be said that, you know, having spoken to the person who was a Minister of State in that department, this project did not come on the radar, and I think there's a threshold of about 5 million euro for the projects to come on that radar.
But it's the one that sets the culture in terms of public spending. It's the parent department for all public spending. And it really has shifted. The culture of that department and its reach into public spending has really diminished and been diluted over the last number of years. We should be treating every euro of taxpayers' money, whether we have budget surpluses as we do now or whether we have very little money as we did when it first set up, exactly the same way. And that's not happening.
I just want to go to Ciarán Dunne, because you were Minister in the OPW in 2024, and you demanded a full review of the Leinster House bike shed. This was in September, I think, of 2024. Is that finished? Has it made its findings?
Well, I there was two aspects to it, really, Colm. So when it came to my attention, I immediately asked for a review on the particular issue itself, because just the sheer scale of spending was wholly unacceptable. Out of that came a report within a two-week period produced, which was published. It's up on the website, and that looked at what actually had happened. Following on from that, and at that time as well, the limits on spending in terms of within the various divisions, within sections, within the upper, were reduced considerably in terms of authorization.
This is the level of what a principal officer could sign off on. It had been, I think, was it €500,000 they could sign off on that. That's now been reduced.
Absolutely. And furthermore, there is an external auditors in which are doing a detailed review in terms of how public procurement operates, whether it's providing value for money. And if I could put one thing, for me, if you're looking at public spending, the first question that must be asked is the particular infrastructure required? That's number one. If it's not required, then it doesn't get to go ahead.
Okay.
If it's required, then it's about value for money. Mm-hmm. And can I just say one thing as well? External review is required. The Public Accounts Committee would seem to me to be the committee. They will do their work as well. And what we want to do here is to improve the system. We can't ignore that it has happened. Minister Patrick O'Donovan was decisive in his action when he came to his attention to publish the report and commissioned the external review. Now the key thing is we get it done as quickly as possible and that we have an improved public procurement system.
How just on the example of the bike shed, you ordered the review in September 2024, last year. How long did it take for that review to complete?
2 weeks.
It took 2 weeks to complete.
It was. I wanted a review to be done, which was a...
Was that an internal or an external?
That was done by the chair of the... He was newly appointed... chair of the OPW.
Right.
So what I once again, Colin, when it came to it was to get a general overview of what actually had happened, and it was clearly in the issue in terms of there wasn't proper due regard for value for money. And the question, I suppose, I'd go back to again, is it required? If it's not required, it doesn't come on.
Okay.
If it doesn't require value for money.
And you have made that point. I suppose, you know, at this stage, ministers are coming into departments Is it worth having a review coordinated by DEEPER or in conjunction with the Controller and Auditor General to look into all projects that are not meeting their timelines, that at this stage are over budget, and to put them on the table now at this point in the government to do a trawl through departments and see how many more, if there are any more of these projects, these types of projects out there within government departments or state agencies?
Well, I think Oisín Smith made a very relevant point. Like, the greater majority of projects that are done in the public departments come in on budget. So if,
sure.
if you look, the outliers should be easier to find if there are outliers.
So
the very simple thing here is that this particular, and it's about putting in place, and this particular issue happened within the Arts Council and agency.
Okay,
they were managing the project.
I know, but you'd appreciate, and I am just trying to get a simple answer to the question here. Is now the time to look at other projects that departments
will always look at their individual projects, and DEEPER are the parent department in terms of spending, and they will always look at that. And I expect that's something that all departments should be doing as a matter of course. This particular issue,
yeah. The Arts Council are saying the issues with this project were flagged in 2021. The business case was made in 2018. It got up and running in 2019. They believed things had started to go wrong in 2021. So there must be other projects that could be examined that are underway at the moment. Many of them are potentially compliant, but should projects be looked at to see what the state of play is, to see if there are similar issues in other projects, in other departments?
If there are projects in individual departments that are running that are hugely delayed. And the other thing as well, this is a very important point.
Okay, but can you answer the original question first? Should projects that are over timeline or over budget be looked at now? Because I do need to bring the other panellists
by the individual departments and by the public accounts, by the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, yes. And that would happen in the normal course anyway, Colin. It should.
Look, the state is the largest spender in the economy, and public procurement is such an important aspect of it. And what we don't have, in my view, at the moment is a strong understanding as to how public money is being spent. I do feel it's the tip of the iceberg here. That's why we do need to have that audit, exactly what you were saying there, Colin, but we do need to have that kind of audit as to where money is being spent. But we also need to make sure that the Office of Public Procurement is taking a look at everything. And I believe in that sense, what we need to be able to see is what public bodies are spending and spending well, what contractors are coming in on time, what contractors consistently come in not on time and over budget. These are things that we only find out through news cycle stories, not something that is actually being looked at by the Office of Public Procurement. That's why I have this bill that I hope all parties, obviously I'm not expecting people here before they've read it, to say that they'll definitely support it. But this is the type of bill that we need to have. That's why I brought it forward in the last all. That's why we need to have it now. For a lot of people, this is just the tip of the iceberg. That's what my view is. And we need to root out this lack of respect, in my view, of public money.
All right. Duncan Smith, there are countries where the country's economy is not well digitised. You hear stories from Germany of doctors still sending each other's faxes. If there was a chilling effect on the digitisation of state services as a result of this, that would be a bad outcome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and nobody is saying that. Like, what was planned here was a good thing, was a system that would enable artists to be able to apply for grants, to be able to do their work. And the valuing of the arts and investment in the arts is what I think we all agree on. We need to see digitisation in the health service, for example. That's going to be a mammoth investment. Over $1 billion is needed there. So we don't want a chilling effect. We just want to ensure that our public bodies are adhering to the public spending code, and that the state, and I'll be interested in the other panellists, and we might talk about this again, is the state considered a soft touch now by contractors? That they'll go in and they'll highball an estimate and they'll slow play the delivery. And that's what we're picking up out there.
Can I just say, in the program of government, we're committed to basically reviewing what is now called the infrastructure guidelines, which is basically known as the public spending code. And it's all about looking for value for money. And no one has, I suppose, has a monopoly on that. And it's something we're very committed to.
Well, you heard what Oisín Smith was saying there, that, there are long timelines, very ambitious projects, and there is greater scope for things to overrun. In this instance, there seems to have been off-the-shelf IT solutions that could have been looked at. Things went wrong when there was bespoke coding being done that didn't work out
Colin, in this particular project.
Points
will have to be looked at in terms of the external review.
But I suppose, as a matter of general principle, when business cases are being made, should it be, you know, is there an immediate off-the-shelf solution available here rather than engaging, you know...
The short answer on a personal
basis... bespoke projects.
On a personal basis, yes. If it comes that you can get something that's off the shelf that will do the job just as well, and it costs less money to the taxpayer, and it's just as effective, the answer is yes.
Okay, and is the oversight within government, you know, the Controller and Auditor General does a lot of work and presents it to the Public Accounts Committee. Is there more of an investigative or greater resources even to the Controller and Auditor General?
Well, the Controller General's staff has increased, you know, quite significantly in recent times, but for me, once again, if there is a need for additional resources and the CNAG is requesting that and it comes to pass, yes, they do incredible work and obviously they produce their report every year. Once again, this is all about getting value for the taxpayer, all about getting value for money. And what we need to do, but ultimately it must be evidence-based. That's why we need this external review.
And the whole evidence-based thing is what I'm talking about. We need to be able to know what contractors are doing excellent jobs, coming in on time and that, and then the ones that aren't. Like the fact that like it's nearly like the right arm isn't speaking to left arm, like it doesn't make sense. And that unless it's because we know through media reports of that you know, a particular contractor is going overtime or overspend, really that information then isn't there. Like it should all be, it makes sense when we're spending the amount of money that we're spending, that the Office of Public Procurement would be taking a look at this, that it would have all that information, that it would be linked to e-tenders and all that. And then a smaller council might, when they're going and they're trying to get something, you know, build something.
That's the purpose of the Public Investment Bill Act we're coming in, where basically
they're not doing it. We will legislate to ensure that there aren't delays.
It's probably going to be an issue we're going to come back to as this gets more greater coverage and indeed the Public Accounts Committee starts its work. But for now, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back looking at the undocumented or illegal Irish immigrants in the United States.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.